Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow.
What about that?
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah.
Triple M rocks the footy.
And a very good afternoon right across Australia as Triple M rocks the NRL final series. My name is Anthony Maroon. We're going to talk all about these finals over the last couple of days. We're going to talk about how we move forward, who will play in the grand final, who's injured, who's not. Let me introduce you firstly to the panel of experts here today from Fox League. It's their chief league writer, James Triceps Hooper. Welcome to you.
Anthony, how are you?
Fantastic. And from NRL 360, a man that's had a big week in Paul Kent.
Hello, Anthony. What a weekend of footy, eh?
Absolutely. A couple of games decided by field goals, which we love. And in our Brisbane studio through the world-famous FM 104.5 Triple M Brisbane, here is the great Raging Bull Gordon Tallis. Good day to you, old mate.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
We are all fantastic. We're fired up to talk footy. Now, guests, we got the man himself, the bloke who kicked three field goals last night, the first time it's happened in a winning finals team since 1971. The great man Adam Reynolds will join us for a chat. We'll talk to Chad Townsend, who had a similar weekend himself, and the boss of the Titans, Graham Annesley, comes on as well. Going to talk about all these finals, all that these things are happening. And what we'll do is, boys, we'll start off talking about that game last night and the poor old Dragons. They went in that game just riddled with injuries, and in the end they nearly got there. We'll talk about that game between the Dragons and the Rabbitohs, and we'll do that next as Triple M rocks the NRL finals. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to our mates at Aveco. Visit your local Aveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering inspired daily light truck. Rocking the NRL finals on the Triple M network, Paul Kent, Hoops, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Let's talk about this game last night. The Rabbitohs getting up in the end on the back of three field goals from Adam Reynolds, and the Rabbitohs get home by 1 point in the end. Two games decided by field goals across the finals. And just to bring you into the picture, what that means from here is next week Melbourne will play the Sharks, and that game is in Melbourne. And at Allianz Stadium, the Roosters will play the Rabbitohs. That will be an absolute cracking game that you would think could almost gazump the grand final. But more on that a little bit later on. Let's start with the Dragons here, boys. And look, I know they went in that game, Paul, yesterday with a number of key injured players. Gordy, I'll start with you. But on the back of that, they did have their opportunities to win that game. They had their own. They had opportunities to wrap that game up last night, and they didn't.
No, they didn't. And what a game of footy. And I thought Ben Hunt was absolutely brilliant. There was a fair bit of pressure on the Dragons, and I thought that coming into the game, the way they played against the Broncos, I thought, can they repeat it? And they did against South. You can say that South Sydney were a little bit down, but it's a semi-final footy. There's no excuses. You don't get ambushed. You don't not come ready to play. And I thought both finals were brilliant. For it to come down the stretch, the Dragons forward stood up, the South forward stood up. It was a really good game of footy. And both sides probably weren't at their best and they missed opportunities, but that's semi-final footy. That's what it's about. It's about taking your moments, and you know, if you don't, digging down, biting down a bit hard on the mouth guard and tackling, and when you get another opportunity, go for it. I thought it was a fantastic game.
It just shows when the game's at its best, it's bulletproof. And if rugby league ever gets its act together off the field, it will dominate the landscape throughout Australia. It's the greatest game in the country because we're four semi-final games now into the final series. Yeah. It's just been magnificent. Every game's been a cracker. And the past two games over the weekend were brilliant. The way South and St. George Illawarra went at each other last night was just rugby league at its best. And there were mistakes, and there were some things that if you're a coach sitting in the box, you would have looked at under the cold light of the video review and say, well, that wasn't ideal. But that's when the game's at its best. I don't think we should be trying to discourage that. When the pressure brings out mistakes, that's what you want. When fatigue brings out mistakes, that's when the game is at its best. And it's a real lesson for the NRL to sit down and take notice of that.
immensely brave from the Dragons as well, considering all their injuries. No Gareth Widdop, no Paul Vaughan in the front row. But for them to be able to find a way to be leading and, you know, really be asking South Sydney plenty of tough questions. The Bunnies looked leading into half time as though if the Dragons scored first after half time, South Sydney were going to be under all sorts of pressure. But they held their nerve. They powered through that middle third of the field, the Bunnies, and they got the result in the end.
Well, there was, of course, a couple of real controversial or real defining moments in the game, boys, and one of them was Ben Hunt deciding very, very late in the game to run the ball on the last tackle rather than to kick it. And as a result, he turned the ball over to the Rabbitohs. Courtesy of last night's call, here is some commentary of that from the press conference with coach of the Dragons, Paul McGregor.
Oh, look, yeah, you can break the game down a fair bit if you like, but that's not for this press conference, mate. Yeah, I'm not going to turn on a player that didn't make the right decision or anything like that. That's not for now. But, you know, obviously it's going forward, it's a great experience for them guys to make sure next time we get that opportunity that we make it right.
Okay, so that's what Paul McGregor had to say about that decision from Ben Hunt, which I have to say shocked everyone in the stadium.
Yeah, well, look, the thing about Ben Hunt, he knew immediately when they got tackled, he'd made a blue, because if you watch him in the foreground of the vision on television, he throws his head back like, oh, no, what have we done? It was a brain fight. I don't know what happened there. All they needed to do was play smart, kick to the corner, and then just tackle for one set, and it's pretty much game over.
In saying that, the guy he passed to, if he passes again, there's 10 metres of open space. There's no one in front of him. But I know that you get to the kick. But listen, the bloke he passed it to.
You've got to play smart.
Or you can play to win. So I know that, right, that, you know, the play, what Cooper Cronk would have done is he would have kicked there. But if he passes and passes again, there's open space. They go down 40 metres and kick back inside. And then all of a sudden, you don't know what can happen. But they didn't.
You just defeated your own argument. Said Cooper Cronk would have sat down and kicked down the corner.
But that's Cooper Cronk. His name's Ben Hunt.
But how many premierships has Cooper Cronk won and how many premierships has Ben Hunt won?
Put Ben Hunt in Melbourne, he might have won the same amount.
No, might have won none if he was going to run the ball on the last.
Yep, okay. The other real controversial moment toward the end of that game, boys, was when Cam McInnes threw the ball into Cam Murray in an attempt to get himself a penalty, but the referee penalised him. So here's Paul McGregor, Mary McGregor, courtesy of Fox League in the press conference last night. This is what he had to say about that.
Or anything like that. That's not for now. But, you know, obviously it's going forward, you make it right. Yeah, look, a big call, big important call, but, you know, the rule that I know it to be is that it's only a penalty if the passer changes his line of pass. I'm not sure Cam done that. So obviously the bloke didn't get out of the way, so it could have been play on. But that's fine, he didn't have to get out of the way, he just didn't have to move. But obviously the pass was in line with someone who was going to the person was in line with someone who was going to receive the ball, which was Jack. And to my liking, Cam didn't pass it down, he passed it flat. So I'd say play on. But obviously Bernard will come out and talk to us about it. He'll have probably a slightly different version possibly, or maybe the same, I'm not sure.
There's a Dragons coach saying, Paul, it's only a penalty if the passer changes his line of pass.
Yeah, look, this is a really contentious issue, and this is where the NRL's created a real problem for itself when Todd came out earlier in the season and changed the rule around this. What we're lacking here is common sense, okay? So Cameron McInnes did not change his line to pass it into Cameron Murray. So from that point of view, you've got to say, well, Cameron McInnes has got a fair complaint. Cameron Murray didn't make any attempt at all to get out of the way. Again, Cameron McInnes has got a fair complaint. But then you say, well, okay, Cameron McInnes, even though his eyes were set on the ball receiver, in his peripheral vision, when a guy is standing a metre from him, he would have seen him there, and he should have allowed the fact that there's actually a player in between. So Cameron Murray's there got a fair point about the ball being passed into him. The way to solve this, because we don't know, we can't tell the intent of the person that's in the way or the person that's passing the ball, the way to solve this is to just call play on. That's the simplest way. Don't give a penalty either way. Initially, we were penalising the guy that was in the ruck, and we got this ridiculous situation where guys were changing the direction that they were passing the ball to throw it into a guy and get the penalty. Now we've got guys who are in the way and not making any attempt to get out of the way, therefore forcing the dummy half to have to change his line to get away a pass. That's not acceptable either. But so what we've got to do is we've got to just get back to the rule where a guy has to try and make the dummy half has to do the best he can to get the ball to the receiver around that player. And if the player is still not making an effort, or a player is deliberately trying to interfere, perhaps then we look at penalising him. But this rule, as it currently stands, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's sort of come in. I can remember Brisbane Milford doing it where he actually passed the ball back. There was no player he could have passed to, and he passed it into a player on the ground. So I don't like seeing that. And normally if there's a player on the ground, stand up, pass it over his head, because there's less people in the defensive line. So for me it was common sense. Or you take off and run. Wasn't it like if there's a marker laying on the ground, you normally, you know, take off and run. But it was a wrong decision last night. I don't think that, you know, I don't think the player on the ground was trying to interfere with the ball either.
No, but you know? See, way back in the day when we had a little bit of football intellect around the game, that would happen. The referee would just go, play on. You want to pass it into the guy, mate, that's your fault. If the ball ricochets off him and bounces in some direction that you hadn't planned on, that's your fault. And then what we do, once you get to that situation, you're no longer getting them. Once you get to the play-on situation and the players accept that, they're no longer playing for penalties. Okay, so we've had a situation where they're playing for penalties by passing into a guy. They turn the rule around 180 degrees, and now they're playing for penalties by standing in the way of the dummy half passing the ball. Call play on. And once you do that, both people will get out of the way. Now, the person more likely to hang around and cause a problem is the guy who's laying in the ruck. And if he deliberately gets in the way and you do that, then penalise him for that, which is how we got ourselves into trouble in the first place. But the game, so this is the problem with when you have a game whereby the coaches sit down and we as soon as they see an opportunity to milk penalties, they coach towards it. And this is the frustrating part about rugby league. We're the only game that I know, maybe it's because it's the only game I follow so closely, but it's the only game I see where we deliberately exploit rules that against the spirit of the game. You know, like there is in every game there's a code that you just don't do that. I'll give you an example. If you're playing baseball, you know, if you throw the ball at the pitcher throws the ball at the batter and the ball hits him, he gets a walk. So if you're in game seven of the World Series and you're down ninth inning by 3 runs, why not just send all your batters up to stand on the plate and get hit?
Yeah.
Like that's a way to exploit a rule. But everybody would say, this isn't the game, this isn't baseball, this isn't the game we play. And there'd be an almighty uproar about it, and the team that end up winning that way would be made to feel like it's a very hollow victory. In rugby league, we tend to celebrate that. Someone's found a loophole. As soon as some team starts to do it, every other team jumps in on the back of it and suddenly becomes accepted in our game.
Well, what makes it equally as tough for the Dragons to digest is the fact that Todd Greenberg did decide to step in and change the rule mid-season. To your point about other sports, I can't think of too many other sports that decide that they want to alter policy on the run and make rule changes in the middle of the year. So, yeah, it was a bad look when blokes were just picking up the ball and deliberately passing it into players lying in the ruck that had otherwise no involvement. But
all the game had to say then was just play on. Call play on. If you're silly enough to change the direction of your pass to pass it into a bloke who's laying down behind the ruck, play on. Then they'll soon stop that.
All right, boys, just to wrap this up in closing, Hoops, let me ask you this. The Dragons, they recruited so well for this season, didn't they? They got some really good off-season recruits. Now they've got more backing from Win TV, who are more involved. They showed a lot of character toward the back end of the season, didn't they? Where are they next year? Are they better or are they worse?
Well, to come back from that 38-0 drubbing against the Bulldogs at Cogra Jubilee Oval, the most famous, you know, ground of all time when it comes to the Red V, to come back from that so close to the finals, I think that's a really strong statement about the character and the style of football that Paul McGregor has got the Dragons playing. I think you got to give them above a pass mark for this season. They achieved, not too many people had them in their top eight.
Mm.
They've gone through second week of the semi-finals to sudden death football and taken the Rabbitohs within a whisker of an upset and being 80 minutes away from a grand final. So I think it's more than a pass mark for the Dragons. And I also think on top of that, that next year they improve again. They'll be better for the experience. Ben Hunt has had a full 12 months with the club. They get Gareth Widdop back. I think things look bright for the Dragons.
Yeah, and let's remember, they were under man. They didn't have Gareth Widdop. They didn't have Paul Vaughan. Lost Tarek Sims during the game. And that was a real blow to their whole rotation and how they used their bench and all the rest of it. And Tarek Sims, obviously, is a dynamic player. He's an impact player. And he would have been invaluable towards the end of that game when they really needed him, but they were down on troops.
I thought that was a real turning point. When Sims got hurt and he was forced off early in the second half, you could just see the momentum really begin to shift.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to our mates at Iveco Trucks. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon talking rugby league as we take you through to the NRL finals and the grand final. A hero from last night. Three field goals in a winning final. First time it's happened since 1971. The man was Adam Reynolds. He joins us next as Triple M rocks the footy. Let's
go! Across Australia.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Both finals across the week were decided by field goals, both close games, and all those scores are always thanks to Tyre Power. Buy four Pirelli Scorpion tyres, receive a tool set valued at $299 from our mates at Tyre Power, and it was Cronulla over Penrith 21-20. It was Souths over the Dragons by 13 points to 12. Before we go any further, footy and CCs, well, you just can't say no. Here is yesterday's Play of the Day.
Triple M NRL Play of the Day.
This is the play. This set. Wrong here side. It comes. Deep. Reynolds, you got a bad pass. Gets away from Armel. Kicks it. Oh, kicks it. What? Kicks it.
What?
South Sydney win. South Sydney win on a third. Adam Reynolds field goal.
Have a look at the fans.
I feel for the Dragons.
16 seconds left. The Dragons have time for a short kickoff. But Adam Reynolds. Loosen Armel, had Jack DeBella, had Cam McInnes all in his face, and he kicks it over their heads.
Thanks to CCs. Footy and CCs, you can't say no to that, just say CCs.
Yeah, great call too. Great call from Dan and the boys on Triple M last night, so make sure you listen right across the final series. We've got the man of the moment on the phone to talk about last night's game. Adam Reynolds, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
What a night, mate. Three field goals, but all the points. How do you feel this morning?
A bit sore, mate, obviously. Carrying a bit of a shoulder injury into the game, but, it's all good throughout the game and obviously pleasing to get the result.
Adam, after the game, Anthony Seibold was talking about the preparation during the season where you ran simulation drills during the season about getting field goals over the line. Can you just take us into what you actually do and how that got you set for last night's effort where you came up with the three field goals?
Yeah, all throughout the pre-season and during the season, Steve's obviously been a very tactical coach, gets us in sort of game situations where we could be behind by four or six, and he'll put a certain amount of time on the clock and we'll run that against our reserve grade side. There's moments there where we're down by a point with, a minute to go and we need to come up with something to obviously kick a field goal and then obviously you might need another one. So, credit to Seas, made things ahead of the game and paid off last night.
I'm tipping you've never had to do it in your footy career before though. Adam, kicked three field goals all in the same game?
No, not at all. Usually doesn't come down to that, so it's usually the one, so... it's credit to the boys. They got us in good field position and obviously made it a lot easier for me.
Talking about the boys, mate, how was the week? There was a little bit of drama off the field. Did it put a bit more steel in yous? I saw yous all walk over and give Sam a big hug after the game, mate. What was said?
Oh, it was nothing towards that sort of stuff. It was more the fact that we haven't really done anything yet. We didn't want to make it a real big thing about last night. Obviously, there's still a game in front of us this week. It's going to be an important game for us, obviously. They're our trial. It's not a hard game to get up for. Obviously, everyone loves these clashes and turn the bubble, so that's one win away from the big dance.
How much advantage do the Roosters have, given the fact that they've had the week off and rested up this weekend? You guys have been playing through and a bit bruised and sore. Is it significant at this time of year?
Could go either way. I look at it, you know, maybe the rest is not the best thing. It could throw you out of the whack there, but certainly to freshen the bodies up, it's a massive bonus. But, you know, for us, there's no excuses. I've got to go out there and play the best we can for 80 minutes, and that's what we'll be preparing to do throughout the week.
Adam, just on a personal note, how important was last night for you? Because you hear people use that line, the halfback owns the result. Well, you look at the scoreboard last night and the fact that you kicked three field goals, you own the result. You delivered on the biggest stage.
Yeah, as I just say that as my job within the team. You know, everyone's got a part to play, and you know, being the main general kicker and goal kicker and whatnot, I feel the responsibility to nail those in pressure situations. And obviously a lot of training and preparation goes into that. So, yeah, I'm more than comfortable with being in that sort of position. I love having the responsibility of that. And as a kid, you always dream of those moments. And, you know, thanks for those who pay off.
What's the secret to beating the Roosters, mate?
Oh, I just think we need to control the ball. You know, starve them of, you know, field position. Obviously, they've got great outside backs that, you know, bring the ball back well. They've got great halves, great spine that lead them around the field. They're a tough side. So, you know, we've got to be clinical. We've got to be at our best. And obviously, defensively, we're going to have to be much better.
How much has the difference this been? Take us through the Anthony Seibold era. How much is South Sydney a different side from what Michael Maguire delivered?
Well, I don't see too much difference. Obviously, using the ball a bit more, but you know, the caliber of players of this sense, just whether we've performed or not last year or the year before. You know, I take nothing away from Matt. He's a great coach and a great bloke. It's a shame that we sort of didn't make the finals the last couple of years, but you know, Seibs has been good. He's been relaxed. He's come in and done a great job. Not only him, but the rest of our coaching staff, they've done a terrific job throughout the pre-season and all the way through the season.
Adam, what is it about this rivalry between the Bunnies and the Roosters that is so special?
Obviously, you know, they're a town over from us, so, you know, it's a clash that we always look forward to. They're sort of the team that always gets the pat on the back and, you know, they're sort of upper class, they say, so... for us, it's about getting in there and doing the work, do we?
What about the Roosters without Latrell Mitchell? How does that change them?
I think it's a big loss. He's obviously a great player. He's damaging on the edge there. And yeah, they're going to miss him a little bit, but saying that, they've got a great roster. They can fill the spot pretty easy with another quality player. We're not too sure what they're going to go with at the moment, either Ryan Madison or, you know, like someone like him out there. They're quality players, so... you know, we'll come up with a game plan during the week and, you know, try and explore a few areas.
Adam, how does your own mindset change? Obviously, you played against Ben Hunt last night, but coming up against Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, obviously, two different players. Ben Hunt's more of a ball runner, I see. He's great at doing it. He showed last night he's slick at that. And obviously, Cooper's kicking game, his game management. The way he gets the boys around the field, his passing game. You know, he's been the best halfback in the game for over a decade. So, yeah, him and Luke Keary are combining really well. So, definitely got to be at our best defensively. He's done lots of Tedesco as well there. So, yeah, a lot of challenges this week, but I'm sure that we'll be up for it.
Was it talking about a challenge? What's the difference that you've seen with Greg Inglis? Obviously, he got the Queensland captaincy, and I saw like a bit of difference, but I'm not out there playing. Has Greg changed, you know, a little bit with these captaincy roles?
Yeah, I think he's sort of picking and choosing his times that, you know, have a real impact on the game. I've seen last night he come out, put a few shots on and lifted us as a team. You know, it's inspiring to see do that sort of stuff, and everyone gets a lift out of it, so... He's a big game player. You know, he's got a lot of respect around the group. Everyone looks up to him, and you know, his presence on the field makes everyone that much better.
Was there any talk after the game about the tackle, the crusher, what you went on report for?
Nah, not at all. I didn't see too much of it at the time. I haven't watched the game back yet, but yeah, I'm not too sure there'd be anything to worry about.
Okay, Ads, we'll let you go, mate. All the best for the week, and let's hope you get up and thump the Roosters next weekend.
No, boys, thanks for having me.
There he is, Adam Reynolds, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. I was driving in this morning, boys, and Adam's dad, the love sponge, was on the veranda sponge. Getting ready for the show.
So, the V8 love sponge, isn't he?
Yeah,
isn't he the V8 love sponge?
He's the V8 love sponge. Mm. The big fella. Well, he's lost a lot of weight. Anyway, boys.
Has he?
Yeah, good to talk to Adam there. And, of course, we'll have that game for you. Like,
That's because he's been sort of taking Ayrsy everywhere. He's been pushing Ayrsy around. He's doing a fair bit of exercise.
He doesn't know Ayrsy. Don't bring Ayrsy into it. Boys, why don't we talk about that Greg Inglis tackle on Tim Laffey now? Hoops, do you think it's going to go any further, the GI tackle on Tim Laffey?
Well, I think the match review committee will definitely be having a look at it for sure. It went on report, so they'll be poring over all the various angles now. I don't think there was quite as much intent as what there was in the Latrell Mitchell one that we saw Latrell suspended for a week earlier. How did you see it, Kenty?
I don't think he'll be charged. I think they'll look at it and they'll just decide that there's not enough in it to take him to the judiciary. So
you didn't think that twist at the end might get him in a little bit of bother?
Yeah,
or?
Look, I thought it was an ugly tackle. It looked bad, but what the match review panel's got to determine is the intent from Greg Inglis and whether there was intent or whether Laffey just contributed to it, whether it was just a tackle that gone wrong. Sometimes these tackles that when you're trying to wrestle guys to the ground, and this is the whole situation we've got with the wrestling the game now, these tackles are becoming more and more prevalent. Because we're no longer hitting blokes and knocking them over in a collision. What we're actually doing is catching them, what they call catching them, holding them up, and then trying to twist them to the ground, waiting for the third man in to come in and hit just above the knees. The whole thing just sucks, if you ask me. I just think at some point we've got to start saying as a game we need to get this out of the game, trying to somehow take it back to collision-type tackling. I think that's the lesson we get out of the girls' game at the moment. They whack each other. They're not about catching and wrestling. They run into each other, and they tackle like you used to tackle, where you run in and try and hit someone as hard as you could and knock them over and knock them off their feet. That's the great attraction of the girls' game. But that's why I think there's going to be a difficulty tonight, later today, trying to find a conviction on Greg Inglis. Everybody does it. Everybody twists around, and I think it'll just be, I don't think there's enough evidence there to get a conviction so they won't charge him.
And they're so good at hiding it in, you know, in certain holds or whatever, you know, and they say that they can get them in these positions and they hold them and it hurts. Mm. But obviously Latrell, because he dropped off his feet and it was so evident, and you see Will Chambers, we just got to get it out altogether. If they're grabbing and they're holding in some sort of way, it's just a penalty.
And the thing you got to remember too, Latrell got hit with a grade one, okay? Now, I think it was a little bit on the lenient side, but if that's a grade one, then it's going to be hard to try and justify Inglis as a grade one.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Aveco. That's Hoops there and Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. So no game this afternoon. We'll just be talking about rugby league right across the final series on the Triple M network. And, of course, if you missed any of the show in the past hour, you can listen to the catch-up podcast exclusively through the Triple M NRL app. It should be up there for you in a couple of minutes' time. So lots and lots of dramas off the field this week as well, obviously involving Sam Burgess, a little bit of an issue there with the Rabbitohs. Very shortly, we'll give the boys to talk about what's going on, the latest off-field drama. That's all coming up as Triple M rocks the NRL finals.
Thanks to our mates at Iveco. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering, inspired by Daily Light Truck.
Welcome back. Triple M rocks footy.
Right across the Triple M network, welcome to it, thanks to Aveco. And guys, I said I'd say a special good day today. In the box beside me last night was rugby league royalty, the great Bobby Steeler, Bobby Millwood, and his beautiful wife Nancy, and they listen to the show every week, and they say it's going good. So hello to Bobby Millwood, mate. Good to know you're listening, and good to know you're still taking the ball up in rugby league, mate. We love you. Now let's talk about what's happening next week across the Triple M network. Of course, you can hear Melbourne Sharks and South's Roosters. Melbourne Sharks games in Melbourne and Roosters Rabbitohs Allianz Stadium there at Moore Park, and we'll have our call team on the deck there. So make sure you're listening to get your footy, because Triple M rocks the NRL finals. Of course, we couldn't have a finals week without this drama, this alleged act by Sam Burgess of the South Sydney Rabbitohs exposing himself on social media. Where are we at with this, Paul Kent?
Oh, look, the Integrity Unit are currently investigating in conjunction with South Sydney. They'll be coming to some sort of decision early this week. It's interesting. I think the NRL, part of the NRL anyway, was sitting there last night desperately hoping that South Sydney got rolled so they're out of the finals and would make any decision they make easier. And now that South Sydney play the Roosters next week, I reckon this really puts the acid on the NRL integrity unit and the leadership within the game.
Can I ask, as a Rabbitoh supporter, Paul, are you suggesting that perhaps Sam Burgess could possibly not take part in the game?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a chance that they might stand him down, which is a massive, massive call. But
stand down for a photo?
Yep.
Did he break the law?
Yep.
How?
He exposed himself.
Have you ever... Paul, we've got a segment called Tinder. Who hasn't sent a selfie?
Gordon, it wasn't a conversation of a sexual nature by what I'm understanding. It was a FaceTime phone call to a fan. So, yeah. Look, I think they're vastly different, Gordon.
Can't you just hang up?
Not what? Before he does it.
Can't you just hang up and then not pick up the phone again?
She did.
Yeah, well,
she hung up immediately that he exposed himself, and he tried to call back three times and she refused to take the call. And then the following morning sent an email to the club saying that she was offended by it and wanted an apology.
I think the world's gone mad.
Really? I think footballers are going mad.
Yeah.
No, I don't, because I was watching the news yesterday, and it was Channel 7, it was Channel 9.
Come on.
Giving Sam a hard time.
Come on.
And 30 minutes later, they are promoting one of the Jenner girls has just posted nude and can't wait to see the photos.
Well, good on
them. So hold on. So one minute they're going, this is great, I can't wait. Oh, mate, the world's going to go crazy over nude photos of a girl. But yet a footy player does something, and he's in trouble. It's ridiculous.
They're vastly different issues, Gordon. Mm.
Have you ever sent a selfie, Paul?
Do I look like the type to send selfies?
I'm just asking you. It'd have to. I know it'd be a small photo. But if in height. Paul, that's a serious question. Have you ever sent a selfie? Or have you ever received one?
I'm not going to go down this line because you know.
But we all have.
My private. But Gordon, there's a difference between sending a photo to a someone you're in a relationship with, and someone you're not. There's a vast difference between that. And let me ask you this: you talk about consistency. Mitchell Pearce is in a lounge room. He's drunk. He's skylarking. He picks up a dog. He pretends as a bit of a joke to play with the dog. Some guy is secretly filming it. Okay. He gets hit with a $125,000 fine, a 12-week suspension, later reduced to 8.
Okay. But I don't agree with that either.
I don't agree with that either. I thought that was harsh. But you know what, Gordon? In the ladder of atrocities, I think Sam Burgess is worse.
You think that's worse?
I think it's worse. Mitchell Pearce was not naked. He was had a right to believe he wasn't being filmed. Certainly he acted silly, but he was just skylarking. He picked up a silly dog and made a stupid joke. Mm. That's vastly different than being in a FaceTime phone call with a fan, okay, with a couple of your teammates there,
so a girl,
and dropping your trousers.
Is that you on Tinder and all that kind of stuff?
No, Gordon, you don't know Tinder what you're account? Talking about. No, what
but
happened?
Was that it?
No, she found a Tinder account with
cool.
Sam's... With
so
Sam's,
what's she doing on a Tinder account? What is she looking for?
Can you just shut up for a minute?
Cool.
Please. She was on Tinder and she found an account with Sam's face on it. She found Sam's, I think his Instagram or his Twitter account or something, and she sent him a message saying, just as a heads up, there is a fake Tinder account using your photo on the Tinder account. Sam said, thanks very much. By the way, did you swipe right?
Hmm.
At which point a dialogue then began. Now, let's remember, she's a 23-year-old woman who is a fan of the game, and she's got Sam Burgess engaging her in a conversation. I don't think the girl can be accused of doing too much wrong in that circumstance. It escalated to the point where she was asked if they could FaceTime. She said yes. She's a New Zealand girl. They were in New Zealand at the time after their game. And then from the conversation, it escalated to the point where suddenly he drops his drawers. At that point, she ended the phone call. He tried to call back three times. She didn't want to take the phone call. I don't think you can accuse the woman of doing too much wrong.
Okay, I should just...
No, but couldn't you just ring the club? Because she rang the club and emailed the club and
Gordon,
all the stuff. Couldn't
come
you said,
on,
hey,
she
excuse
emailed
me,
them.
Excuse me, there is a fake account of Sam Burgess. I don't need to get in contact with him.
Please, Gordon.
Cool.
Come on. Come on. Seriously. When are men going to be men in this game?
Let me just point out, this is all alleged at the moment. The NRL is investigating. South are investigating. Hoops, what about these issues that get around rugby league in the last couple of weeks? I've had the Bulldogs thing at the pub at the Rocks. Now I've got this thing. You know, sometimes we don't need all this background work, all this arguing, all this fussing. If grown men would just sort of do what's probably the right thing to do, if you know what I mean. I mean, I've got adult kids. If I say to them, just do the right thing, they'll do it. You know, they're not perfect, but they'll just do the right thing. That's all these blokes needed to do.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Anthony. Look, I've made plenty of mistakes in my life over the years. So people, when there's alcohol involved, at times, you know, people can make foolish decisions. But I understand where you're coming from, and sadly, it's made a lot of negative headlines at a period where we should be celebrating the game because it's the finals time and everyone wants to talk about the footy.
The fact is, we all like Sam.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a good fella. But he's made a blue, all right?
Doesn't deserve to be on the front page of the paper and all this kind of rubbish. Just over.
Gordon,
and was he
Gordon,
there? And there's nothing, Gordon, mate. It's something, mate. You know, it could be so innocent.
Gordon,
it
you know
be
what?
As innocent as that. Mitchell Pearce was actually there. Sam's just on the phone, mate. We've all done something stupid. It's a device in his hand. He's not thinking it's offending anybody.
Gordon, that might be the case. But let me say this, right? I often hear players these days say, yeah, what about the things you used to be able to get away with? Why can't you get away with that anymore? Okay, they all complain about that. At the same time that they're complaining about that, they're earning $400,000-$600,000 a year. At the same time, you go and talk to an ex-player, right? His complaint is that he was only earning 30, 40 grand a year out of football. When you get the money, there comes a price. You don't get given money for nothing. You don't get given money and you don't get given more money and expect less in return. There comes a price. The game relies on its public image.
Want a speed limit for all different cars. If you're really rich, you got a fast car, you can drive at a different...
What's
it's the same
that?
Rules for everybody. Well, it's the same rules for everybody. Just because he's a football player, just because he earns this money...
It's not the same rules for everybody.
He should be judged the same as everybody else.
It's not the same.
If his name's Joe Blow in the middle of the street, nothing would be said. It took 4 months to come out.
That's true, Gordon. That's true. But if he's Joe Blow, nobody's going to go and pay to watch him do what he does for work.
Yeah. I think it just comes down to, like, these blokes should think, if I take my clothes off in a pub, there's going to be blowback. If I drop my pants and get a photo on social media, there's going to be blowback. Like, this is what I mean. It's just common sense.
Is that why you don't want to go do that Roosters thing up there in Port Macquarie? This is it. You're getting to the... You don't want to be on social media.
Of course I don't. I'm a 52-year-old man. I don't want to dress up as a cheer girl. Thanks, Einstein.
Oh.
Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your manners back in.
How is he?
He's all right. Well, he's as good as he's going to get.
Is he?
Good as he's going to. I took him up the pub the other day, bought him a schnitzel, lovely lunch.
Zach Bailey, our producer, was saying he wants you to bring in a photo next year.
I'll
bring
in a photo of him. I absolutely will.
Okay, let me ask you this then. I want to put this. If the NRL, they will have to make a decision this week before South play the Roosters. They will have to make a decision. They can't hold it out any longer. If the NRL come out and say he's fine to play, what does that say about the NRL administration?
Well, I hope he is fine to play.
Of course you do, because you're a South fan. Yeah. But this is the issue.
So do I. I hope he's fine to play too.
Okay, so what are the Roosters fans say then when they lost Mitchell Pearce for a third of the season for what I believe is a far less offensive incident?
Well, I know what I'd say to Roosters fans. Bad luck.
It's going to be one of the great... It's going to be one of the great power plays behind the scenes because you got Nick Politis, who's the kingpin of the Sydney Roosters, and then you got Russell Crowe, who's the co-owner of South Sydney, and they're both going to be lobbying for the opposite of effect.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Aveco. We'll come back with a little thing called I Call BS. Sunday Triple M NRL, and we are live right across the NRL final series with Paul Kent, James, the human tricep Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. In the next hour, we'll speak to Chad Townsend from the Sharkies, and we'll do that thanks to celebrations. Graham Annesley of the Gold Coast Titans. Gordy's an ambassador from the Titans, so we'll be able to introduce them, Graham Annesley and Gordy, to each other.
He's with the NRL right now, Anthony. He's not with the Titans anymore.
I didn't know that. When did that happen?
About a week ago, a couple of weeks back.
It's time
good
for
to
this.
See that you stay up.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Oh, this is a segment in the show where we let you just call BS on whatever you want. You can it can be trivial. It can be a trivial thing, or it could be a really big serious thing. Okay, so you might say I bought a Caesar salad and didn't have enough croutons in it. Well, I call BS on that, or you might be something massive. Now, our producer here today, who's a bit of a TV identity as well, and a bit of one of rugby league's glamour couples at the moment, Zach Bailey and the beautiful Emma Lawrence. Well, Zach, or Eyebrows as we call him, Eyebrows Bailey, was coming into the city this morning to go to the eyebrow salon, and he couldn't get across the Harbour Bridge because there's a big fun run on in the middle of Sydney, and he wants to call BS on the fact that he couldn't get across the bridge. To immediately, I thought, Hoops, that what this bloke's got in his life is first world problems. So I'm calling BS on blokes that want to use this as a platform for their first world problems.
BS!
Would anyone like to add anything?
I think that was a great one, Maroon.
Thanks, mate.
I'm glad I waited for that one.
Well, I've got so many awards.
Yeah.
Have you got one, Paul?
Yeah, I want to call BS on this obsession we've got with the game's direction, that the future growth of the game is all about the women's game, the Pacific, and touch football. I think, the other night we had Peter Beattie on, the commissioner, and asked him how he saw the game in 10 years' time, and those were the three answers he gave: more touch football, more women, and more Pacific Islands football. I think if that's what we're pinning the future of the NRL on, we're done.
Mm.
The NRL will always exist on the strength of the NRL competition, and the game flows from that, and that always has to remain our focus. We have to stay with that, and we have to just grow the game. We have to figure out what we're going to be as a game in 10 years, and I don't mean more touch football competitions or touch football preview games before you go and watch the NRL game. I mean, we need to figure out whether we've got a 20-team competition, whether we have two 10-team conferences, whether we have a team in Perth, Adelaide, wherever we need, whether we have the second Melbourne team, certainly need a second Brisbane team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to get down and we need to figure out where our game's going to go. I think I'll give you another BS. The annual funding of the NRL, okay? The NRL every year sit down and they give $13 million to the teams. The nine Sydney teams are all competing against each other for the same market share, are all get $13 million in grants from the NRL, and yet the Brisbane Broncos sit up there, they profit $30 to $40 million per year, and yet they get a $13 million grant as well. I just think there's a whole disparity here, and we need to start bringing in a comparative type grant so the teams that need the money actually get the money, so then we can start growing the competition. They need to relook the way we finance the game, and we need to start getting serious about taking on AFL and getting out there and saying, you know what, I'm sick of sitting there, and where we used to go down the field and kick goals for a living, you know, for an afternoon when we were kids playing touch footy, they're going down there, they're trying to kick goals and behinds because they've got AFL posts down there.
Do you, Paul?
Yeah, everybody take a hacksaw and cut those posts down.
Yeah.
BS.
Paul, do you think that second Brisbane team should be an entirely new team or a relocated team?
Look, well, that's the other thing. The NRL had a commission meeting this week with the chairman and all that, and they told the clubs there's no more money now for clubs to get themselves in financial trouble. To me, that's concerning, okay? They will help a team relocate, but we need to sit down and we need to have a serious think about what we're doing with the game. Nobody has done a costing of, say, what the benefits are of playing a second team in Brisbane. How much sponsorship money would actually be there, or how many corporate support they would receive, or how many fans they would be expected to receive to take away from the Broncos. Certainly there's an element in Brisbane of people who do not like the Broncos and would probably support a second Brisbane team. Mm. The other part is, what's the benefits of going to Perth, okay? Is there real money there that these teams who are all just killing each other here in Sydney are letting just sit there and go untouched? We need to start planning for our game, and to sit there and just do it by attrition, that if a team falls over, well, that's just bad luck because you've run your business poorly. That's really poor administration from the NRL. We need to be more deliberate and purposeful about how we're actually planning our future.
Let me ask you this. How do they get the Kahunas to take a side out of Sydney? Well, we've been saying it for ages. The Roosters get three people. The Roosters get three Range Rovers drive to a game every week, right? Right? And they come in from the east.
So
that is the logic side. That is the logic side to move to Adelaide or to move to Perth, and no one's got the guts because of Uncle Nick.
And that's an issue. That's an issue, Gordon, that the Roosters don't get support. And we had 2 weeks ago, we had a Swans final at the SCG, which is a full house, and next door we had the Roosters getting 15,000 in their own finals game. Mm. It was embarrassing for the game, and Sydney was not that sort of city. Sydney is now is increasingly becoming an AFL city. Now there's a whole heap of reasons for that. Much of which is about what's been on the front pages of rugby league, the newspapers in recent weeks, not the back pages. But the other issue is that we need to start planning that. The way to get teams to start deciding their future is, and this is where John Grant made a terrible deal with the clubs where he gives them $13 million, because that's just going to keep teams on life support. The way you do it is you keep lifting the playing field so they've got to run their business far more efficiently. And if at some point one of the teams starts to go to the wall and says, we are struggling, and it's through natural attrition. It's not through the NRL tapping one team on the shoulder and say, you have to move. It's basically a team sitting down, they look at their books and they say in their boardroom, guys, we either seriously consider about relocation or we are going to be dead in 2 years' time. And
well, at that point... you need to move to Queensland. You need to move to Queensland. They get big crowds. No one cares about the other games. Come up here. It's nice. So you can drive up. You'd be a much happier guy.
Yeah,
Sydney at the moment is getting to you, Paul.
They get massive crowds.
I call BS on Sydney treating my little friend the way he does, to come in here every Sunday, to come in here every Sunday upset Maroon, and you have stopped giving him massages, okay? Yeah, mate, the coconut oil needs to come back, and you need to start rubbing his shoulders again.
All right, that's not coconut oil. You got one for us too, have you, Hoops? I call BS.
Mate, I got a little bit of a fun one, Anthony. So I'm calling okay, BS. You're very good, mate. Ayrsie brought this to my attention during the week.
Now, just to be clear, Ayrsie is the man who I take to... dialysis at Prince of Wales Hospital every week.
Okay, so he sent
but
me a
pick
message.
On him, don't worry.
No, he sent me a message during the week, which somebody brought this to my attention, and it's off your social media, it's off your Facebook, and it was in the lead up to that game between the Dragons and the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium last Sunday. Yeah. And this is what he said, Gordon. Dragons fans, as you all know, after the weekend, you'll have plenty of time on your hands. Here is a list of things to do in the Illawarra on the weekend. Sublime Point Lookout, Kiama Blowhole, Coastal Road to Sydney, lunch at Scarborough Pub, spring into Corrimal, or the Dapto Street Fair.
Yeah, well, I used to
now,
live
after
down there.
after they went out and submitted one of their best performances of the season and upset the Broncos.
Right.
Anthony, do you want to issue an apology to the Dragons fans?
Well, okay, we prolonged it for a week. You missed spring into Corrimal, but the Dapto Street Pet Fair is still on, and you can still have a schnitzel at the Scarborough Pub. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Aveco. We're back after this with Chad Townsend as Triple M rocks the finals.